Welcome to the Locked On Yankees podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Sean St. Jacques. It's Gary Phillips. We're hosting tonight. It's opening day, Gary. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're getting into a lot of good stuff later on. We'll get into the overall lineup for the Yankees later on as well. Going to get into the pitching rotation and expectations for that this season. And also we'll get into Greg Bird, his injury, as well as how that might affect the lineup in just a little bit. But we did want to introduce ourselves. This is our first time on the Locked On Yankees podcast.
Well, Sean, I'm pretty excited to be doing this. I know you are as well. I'm excited because it's opening day. I mean, this is, no exaggeration, my favorite day of the year. It should be a holiday. I'm pretty excited. This is the first time probably in, you know, 7-8 years where I haven't had to skip a class or skip school to catch the opening day game. But me and Sean are actually, we're Seton Hall graduates. We graduated together last May, so we're pretty excited to be doing this together. And just a little bit about myself. I'm currently writing for Sporting News. I'm going to be covering the Yankees. I'm going to be at Yankee Stadium a bunch this season, writing some stories on the Bronx Bombers as well as the teams that pass through. And I'm also the managing editor for USA Today's Jets Wire, covering gangrene for those that have been a little more tortured in their New York sports fandom. But now, Sean, I know who you are. The audience doesn't know who you are. Who the heck are you?
Well, I'll segue because we worked on the Jets Wire site now for just about a year. So we've had experience not only through Seton Hall and covering Seton Hall athletics, but also covering the
Always
Jets
a good time.
As well. Oh, I mean, you talk about two of the most successful groups out there. but yeah, I've been a lifelong Yankees fan as far as my Yankee credentials go, and I've written about the Yankees for numerous sites in the past. A lot of my background is in sports broadcasting. I've been a play-by-play broadcaster for numerous sports, for D1 athletics, basketball on ESPN3, Fox Sports Go, NEC Front Row, and things of that nature, but I also cover college basketball for SB Nation as well. So I have a lot of my background in college basketball, but also in baseball as well, writing for other sites in the past. And also the fact that we're lifelong Yankees fans, I think, makes us pretty qualified, but also our coverage as well.
All right. So, Sean, I'm getting into this podcast because I don't have a lot of experience
right. Talking
into a mic. Most of my background is in writing, which if you want to follow me, you want to see some of that writing, it's at Gary H. Phillips on Twitter. But
there'll be a lot of shameless plugs. Don't worry about that.
A lot of plugs. We are going to plug away.
No doubt.
But what makes you want to get into this podcast, and why are you so excited to be part of Locked On Yankees?
Well, I had to do it because of the fact that right now a lot of what I'm doing is in the college basketball and the NFL and things of that nature. You always dream, at least for me since I was a little kid, to continue and do something with the Yankees. And anytime you get your foot in the door to do something like this, you have to take advantage of it. And it's definitely something that as soon as we were told that we could possibly do this, I jumped right on board. So I'm looking forward to this for sure.
My thoughts exactly. And with that, we're gonna stop, you know, rambling on about ourselves. We're going to give you what you came here for. We're going to talk a little bit Yankees.
The sad part is we're starting off with a bad note, Gare. And we're starting off with the Greg Bird news, of course.
It's unfortunate.
Out for 6 to 8 weeks. He had surgery on a bone spur, and he gets it removed, and now he's out for about 2 months. And after he had, you know, such a promising season a year ago and everything that he's been through with injuries, this was the last thing I think Yankee fans wanted to see. Now, Neil Walker comes in. He's a versatile infielder, so you're able to kind of at least get by maybe the first couple months of the season. But we know the potential of Greg Bird, and this is the last thing we wanted to see is him take a step back in this way.
Yeah, you know, I think what people really don't realize, because I see it all over Twitter, I see it in my mentions, oh, it's time for the Yankees to move on from this guy, he's an injury risk, you know, why are they wasting their time with him? I think what people don't realize is that this is a guy who came up with Aaron Judge, with Gary Sanchez, and the entire time the three of them were rising through the minor leagues, if you ask Brian Cashman or any higher, you know, high-ranking executive in the Yankees front office, if you ask them who the best pure hitter is in that organization, the answer was always Greg Bird for maybe 2 or 3 years. So the Yankees believe in this kid. They see a lot of potential there. You saw a glimpse of what he's capable of doing last October and September, and they're committed to giving this guy a chance. And I think if he can stay on the field, I know that's a huge if at this point. If he can stay on the field, though, they're going to be rewarded nicely in his production.
That's the problem, obviously, with Greg Bird, is that he can't stay on the field. When he's on the field, he's been as impressive as any of the new era Yankees.
I mean, that swing is beautiful, and it's tailor-made for Yankee Stadium.
It really is. I mean, that home run against the Indians in Game 3 of the ALDS just epitomizes Greg Bird's swing against, I mean, of all people, Andrew Miller. It's just it is almost like he's hitting a tennis ball with a racket, and then it's just a beautiful finish, almost like DeShera used to have.
Right.
And that alone is worth keeping, that natural talent as well. But the thing I think people lose, and this is, it was so underrated, I think, when DeShera was at first, the defensive side of the game at first. Greg Bird brings that too. He's the complete player. And I think that's a big reason why the Yankees can't give up on him. And the fact that anybody is this early, listen, if he was not maybe middle of the road in his career, maybe this is a conversation, but he's still not even close to where he could be, not only as a defensive first baseman, but as potentially one of the best hitters in the American League if he reaches his potential.
And he's still young.
He's a baby bomber.
He's still in his mid-20s, you know, and I think if he can get a full season under his belt, he's not just going to be a great Yankee, he's going to be a household name across Major League Baseball. And you look at the injuries that he had, you know, he had the torn labrum in his shoulder that required one surgery. That kind of came out of nowhere after his cup of coffee in the big leagues. And then he's had this ankle, which, you know, he had surgery on last year. He's having surgery on it now. That stemmed from him fouling a ball off his foot in a spring training game. So I'm still even a little hesitant to say this guy is injury prone. These have been freak accidents. And yeah, you could say his body's kind of made out of glass or whatever, but I just want to see him get a full year under his belt. You know, I want to see if he can make it a season without any injuries that aren't freak, you know, in nature. And I think he's going to be a guy that puts up 35, 40 home runs if he can stay healthy.
The good news is that the Yankees signed Neil Walker. He'll play second base on opening day. But also, you've got another young gun coming up to play first in Tyler Austin, whose opposite field swing is built for Yankee Stadium, and he has a lot of potential as well. I think that addition to bring him up and out of spring training ends up working out because of the fact, obviously, the hand was forced there a little bit, but you have the depth from the farm system to say, okay, you know, Greg Bird, we didn't expect that to happen. That's not great. But we got another promising kid that we've seen already in the big leagues in Tyler Austin who can plug right in and play 2 months of solid infield, whether it's at first base or maybe somewhere else.
Right. So Austin hasn't done a ton with the opportunities he's already been given in the majors, but his swing looked a lot better this spring. He showed off a ton of pop, and you're kind of balancing him now with Neil Walker, where it's going to be a lefty-righty platoon. He's going to be in the opening day lineup today against a lefty in J.A. Happ. And it gives the Yankees some coverage, some protection. Is Austin going to be what the Yankees think a healthy Greg Bird can be? I don't think so. Is Neil Walker? I don't think so. Are the two of them together? Probably not, but I think it's enough of an insurance plan to survive, assuming Bird's injury truly is 6 to 8 weeks, which, you know, last year was also a prolonged diagnosis as well. But also look at what the Yankees plugged in at first base last year to cover for him. G-Man Choi, Chris Carter, you know, Chase Headley. Hey, can you play a little bit of first base for us? I mean, they're in a much better situation this year to make up for Bird's absence than they were a year ago.
And there's two things, I think. First of all, kudos again to Brian Cashman for preparing for something like this to happen by signing Neil Walker. I mean, it seems, I don't know if he's a fortune teller, but when people signed Neil Walker, it was kind of like, all right, you know, did you really need to do that? And now you need him.
I think Cashman's just an opportunist. If you can get a player like Neil Walker,
can't have too many infielders, right?
$1 million a year. You know, if he's just sitting there, you might as well put him on your team so he doesn't join somebody else. And now it's paying off dividends.
Exactly. And then also the fact that, you know, the farm system has been so well stocked that, again, and Tyler Austin is relatively versatile, at least as far as where you can plug him in.
Yeah, a little first base, a little outfield.
Can play the outfield as well. Now, again, no need. But, you know, now you can plug him in. Maybe if it works out, maybe he starts to get going, swinging the bat. Who knows? And then the decision would get a little bit tougher in a good way when Greg Bird hopefully comes back. The other good news, and again, it depends on the player, but there are some reports that it might not take 6 weeks for Greg Bird, or it might take 6 weeks and not 8 weeks. But we've seen in the past with Greg Bird that sometimes it's taken a lot longer. So you know, it really depends.
And that's just the time he's going to be kept off the field. You know, he's still got to get back.
He's got to do some rehab,
some minor league games. So at this point, I think the Yankees and their fans all know better. Just because the timetable is 6 to 8 weeks, don't expect that. That said, you know, they're obviously hoping Bird comes back as swiftly as possible. I don't think he really needs to worry about his job being in jeopardy when he gets back. Again, this is an organization from the inside that believes in this kid tremendously. That thinks he has Aaron Judge, Gary Sanchez type stardom. So he's until his body is just in absolute pieces, he's going to have a chance to show them that they're right.
Before we get into the rotation, just want to remind you guys, if you want to advertise with Locked On Yankees, shoot us an email, lockedonnyy@gmail.com. That's lockedonnyy@gmail.com if you want to advertise with the Locked On Yankees podcast. All right, let's move on now to the pitching rotation. And a lot of big names coming back, obviously. All the young Luis Severino, who's coming off a great season where he really came into his own and gets the start on opening day, along with other veterans. They re-signed CC Sabathia. Masahiro Tanaka comes back. That's a heck of a front three with CC's veteran experience coming back and really helping to anchor what, for the most part, is a young but very talented starting rotation for New York.
You know, people have kind of said this is the team's biggest concern. A lot of teams would take this rotation as a concern.
In a heartbeat.
I think it's because the rest of the team, when you look at the offense, obviously, but also the bullpen, is so stacked top to bottom.
No doubt.
I think you get to a point where, comparatively, it doesn't keep up. But this is a good rotation. And you start with Severino, who had a Cy Young year last year. And people are worried, oh, can he repeat it? Do the Yankees have to be worried about his innings this year? I think this kid is the real deal. And that's not only from talking to him and just seeing that poise and that confidence, but also look at what he did when he matched up against the Corey Klubers and the Chris Sales. I mean, he puts his best foot forward. He rises to the occasion, the one exception being the AL wildcard game, obviously, but that's a 23-year-old kid in a madhouse Yankee Stadium.
It's also a do-or-die situation.
Right.
The season's on the line.
That is his first taste of that first type of
ever
situation.
Now, it's different if it's game one of a division series,
right?
I think, when you know that there's... And the other thing is that Joe Girardi would have handled it completely differently if it was an ALDS game one. He might have left Severino in. Now, I don't know if that changes the outcome of the game.
Right.
See, obviously, the Yankees came back and won, but in that do-or-die situation, with runners on base, you're already down 3-0. You had to do it. But Severino tells you a lot about the kid. He bounced back swimmingly in the Cleveland series.
Oh, he was fine the rest of October.
And against the Astros was fantastic. To your point, for a young kid, he's shown that he can really bounce back and be very resilient and be a stud on the mound when the Yankees need him in the biggest spots.
He's a gamer. In the truest sense of the word. And I think he got a little sense of humbling when he got demoted to the bullpen 2 years ago, and it looked like, oh, this kid could end up being a bust. You know, sometimes young pitchers, they just go through some growing pains. I mean, you look at a guy like Felix Hernandez on Seattle,
yeah,
and for years it was like, this guy is, you know, the next Cy Young winner, and he didn't really pan out in his first few seasons. Well, look where he got to eventually.
There's a reason they call him the king now.
Right. Sometimes you have to show a little patience with a young hurler. And I think Severino's going to be just fine. I don't think the Yankees have to be worried as far as who's the ace of this staff.
I think it can't be understated how important it is to have CC back with this group. I think last year, when it was do or die in the late on in the postseason, CC got the ball. He got the ball for Game 7 of the ALCS.
All season. You know, look at the numbers when the
Yankees
were
win games.
When they were on
CC got the ball.
Must win games. Look at what he did when they were on a losing streak.
Absolutely.
Mean, he was a...
That was one of the most remarkable stats in all of baseball last year.
He was an every fifth day stopper at the back of the rotation.
Yeah.
Which is incredible, just one, given his age, but also kind of looking at where he was not too long ago as far as you thought his career might be over, he might be washed. He's completely reinvented himself. He's kind of taken the Andy Pettit path and improved it.
And as you know, Andy Pettit's had a huge influence on this resurgence. I mean, he learned so much. The cutter was learned from him, how to not just beat everybody with a 95 mile per hour fastball, but actually pitch and go through a progression, change it up, change the order of your pitches, be able to last more than just five innings throwing 95. He can take some off, but now I've seen this, through interviews and other things and personally getting to meet him a couple of times and talking with him about it. But the big thing is that he has been able to gain confidence from that. Because now he doesn't have to beat you with 95, and now you're supposed to beat him. He's throwing 88. He can pinpoint, and now is using his accuracy and his secondary pitches to beat you, and that's gaining him even more confidence.
It sounds silly because this is a guy who in his prime, I won a Cy Young Award, but if you watch him, he is a better pitcher now than 100%. He was when, he was with the Indians or that half season when he first started with the Yankees. And it's really cool to see his sort of renaissance in pinstripes, and also just how they've been so mutually connected to each other, the Yankees and Sabathia. And just one other point about him I want to bring up. You mentioned it's great for him to be a part of this group, this the rotation, not just from a pitching standpoint, but this guy is now the, along with Brett Gardner, that they are the de facto captains of this team. And Sabathia, I know, was a huge influence last year on guys like Severino and Jordan Montgomery, but also the entire clubhouse. I mean, this is a guy who has really stepped up and kind of embraced a leadership role. So it was definitely to the Yankees' benefit that they brought him back this offseason.
And you hear guys talk about those two all the time when it comes to leadership qualities, but also, I mean, just players in general. When they talk about when the team's going right, everything's going well, the table setter, it's always Brett Gardner. You know, when you need somebody to end a losing streak, it's always CC Sabathia. Yes, there's Judge. There's going to be Stanton. Right. It's Sanchez. It's Didi. But the bare bones, you need those guys.
Go back to
championship caliber teams.
Go back to
Gardner
those championship,
and CC,
to those World
those
Series
DNA
teams.
Guys.
Not everybody has to be a superstar.
100%.
I saw people saying and calling to New York Sports Radio when JD Martinez was still lingering out there, like, oh, they got to go scoop this guy up. Like, you don't have to. It's okay. Relax. Not everybody has to be an all-star on the team or making $20 million a year. It's going to be okay.
I mean, one of the biggest hits of the entire ALDS that put it away. I mean, Gardner's, 15 pitch at bat? Might be exaggerating that by two pitches. He fouled off pitch after pitch after pitch, grinded it out, and drove in the two runs that sealed an incredible come-from-behind victory in that series. I mean, those are the kind of at-bats in the postseason that win you or lose you series.
And absolutely.
I got to tell you this. I don't know. Listen, it depends on the situation. But if you need to get a run home from third and you can choose one guy, listen, Judge, sack fly, whatever. But if there's two outs, I think you might want to go with Brett Gardner. He's a contact guy.
He works out at bats. He's the fighter.
Exactly.
Not to get too far off topic.
Yes.
We're talking rotation. Rotation. And all of a sudden, that's what a Brett Gardner at bat does. You just get lost in the beauty of
it.
But we kind of covered Severino. We've covered Sabathia.
Yeah.
One guy I think that really deserves a little more attention and some love from not only the fan base but the organization is Jordan Montgomery.
100%.
All offseason, people were talking, do the Yankees need to go sign a Lance Lynn, a Jake Arrieta, and Alex Cobb? Do they need a fifth starter? And, Montgomery is kind of your depth guy. He's waiting there at AAA, whatever. Do yourself a favor. Go on Baseball Reference, bring up on one page Jordan Montgomery, bring up Clayton Kershaw on the other, okay, and compare those two left-handers' rookie years. Montgomery has him beat across the board. I'm not saying Jordan Montgomery is going to be Clayton Kershaw. What I am saying is that if you have a 20-something-year-old southpaw that puts up a season like he did in 2017, every team in Major League Baseball is going to be clamoring for that pitcher.
And it's so funny, and this is typical Yankee fan, but I'm sure that if you're a Yankee fan, you're looking at maybe the first couple of starts, or you're looking at a couple in the middle where he did struggle at times.
Right.
But guess what? Welcome to the big leagues. That's how it works.
That is life in the majors.
And when he figured it out, he was fantastic. It was like he had been there for 5 years.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And you know, now this spring he's added a changeup to his arsenal, which is going to. If you've watched his spring training games, it's looked incredibly sharp. I think that's going to be a huge addition.
He just looks like he's gained so much confidence from last year to this year, and that's huge. Huge for a guy at that stage of his development in the rotation.
I don't know what his future is going to be. I don't want to make, you know, claims or anything like that. I am saying after the year he had last year as a rookie in, you know, the power-packed AL East, yeah, you should be excited to see what he's going to do in year two, just like you're excited to see what, you know, Judge is going to do in year two, what you would have hoped Bird would have done in his first full season, what you're hoping, you know, Sanchez is going to continue to do. Yeah, this guy should be right up there along with the rest of the Baby Bombers. Be excited about Jordan Montgomery.
Before we finish up by getting into the overall expectations with the Yankees, just want to remind you guys that the Locked On Yankees podcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, and basically anywhere you can find podcasts. Make sure you hit us up there. Leave us a rating and a review as well. That really helps us out. We really appreciate that as well.
Yeah, say nice things about us, okay?
We'd appreciate
and,
it.
Please and thank you.
About all of our guys.
Right, and not just us. We got an amazing team over here at Locked On Yankees led by Jesse Spector. So write a review, give us a little rating, share us on Twitter, Facebook, whatever you want to do.
Like the team itself, up-and-comers on this site.
Exactly. We're doing something pretty cool here. We're building a nice little roster of our own.
Little core. I like it. All right, let's end it. First of all, I wanted to give you a chance. Thoughts on the lineup for today's opening day.
Yeah, you want
against
my thoughts.
Toronto. We're both going to give our thoughts, but I was going to throw it to you first, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's going to be a fluid situation. You know, what you're seeing today.
Well, just in case you haven't seen it
yet. Right, yeah. We should read the lineup.
It's Brett Gardner batting first, and it's Judge, Stanton making his Yankee debut, Gary Sanchez batting fourth, Aaron Hicks batting fifth. He's a switch hitter, going to be batting right against the lefty J.A. Happ. Didi Gregorius batting sixth. Brandon Drury makes his Yankee debut at third, batting seventh. Neil Walker, Yankee debut, batting eighth. And then Tyler Austin bats ninth. Obviously, Seve on the mound.
Sean, you read that like you have a lot of experience reading out lineups on a broadcast. You know, maybe tracing back, you know, some Seton Hall Pirates baseball.
You know, first time actually doing that.
First time.
No, and since then as well. But yeah, it's a lineup that I want to get your thoughts on, just because of the middle of that lineup against a lefty, four righties in a row, and certainly the lineup will change. Just want to get your initial thoughts on the opening day lineup.
Well, look, obviously having Bird, a left-handed hitter, out of the lineup, it's going to take away some of the balance that I think would have otherwise been easily achieved for Aaron Boone. So you got J.A. Happ on the mound. The middle's going to be a little stacked, but at the same time, you're not going up against a world beater. You know, the Yankees are fortunate that Marcus Stroman's recovering from injury. They don't have to face him tomorrow. But it's also why you got a guy like Tyler Austin in there. You know, he gives a right-handed complement to Neil Walker, who will probably play first base against lefties, and then you bring Tyler Wade in there at second base. So, yeah, they still have Walker in there. He's a switch hitter. Hicks is a switch hitter. It's still a pretty balanced group, not as much as you were hoping with Bird.
Yeah, it's interesting. And the other thing is with Giancarlo Stanton, it's going to be interesting with him. Obviously, he's going to play in the field during a few days during a typical week of games, DHing as well. That could help him as far as, you know, getting rest. But also, we saw with Aaron Judge at times last year, when he got a half a day off, as they say, just hitting and not playing the field, he would sometimes break out of a slump, or at least show you signs that he was improving the swing, improving against off-speed pitches. He had time to kind of focus on his hitting instead of having to constantly going out to the field. That could possibly work into Stanton's favor as well.
Well, I don't think it's just going to be Stanton, you know.
Right.
I think it's going to be him. It's
mixing and matching.
Judge. It's going to be Sanchez when you want to throw Romine behind the plate. You know, hint, hint. Do that when Sonny Gray pitches. But Yeah, I think the Yankees are such a flexible team like we really haven't seen in recent years. When you look at guys like Drury and Wade and Walker, who can move all over the infield, you know, Tyler Wade's going to be their fifth outfielder at this point with Ellsbury and Frazier on the DL. And then you're going to also see Judge and or Stanton play a little bit of left field. You know, the hope is that Stanton does that a little better than he did in spring training, but at least one of them is going to play over there a few times this season, and it's just going to open up that DH spot. It's going to open up some opportunities for Boone to give guys rest, to give guys half days, and I think this should always be a pretty energized and refreshed group given that versatility.
And I'm also interested to see how Aaron Boone will handle his first season. Obviously, he's been given a wealth of talent, obviously, leading into this season. It's going to be interesting to see how he manages it all. Obviously, there's going to be other parts to this, whether it's, you know, obviously injuries. I'm more curious about the pitching rotation, how he handles that, but also the bullpen. Obviously, a lot of wealth in the bullpen, too. First time manager, first time doing this. It's huge. I think that Larry Rothschild is back as far as the pitching is concerned.
Oh, absolutely.
That's absolutely crucial to the success of the team in a season where it's back to the old days where it's title or bust pretty much.
Yeah, you know, what's nice for Boone and most other first time rookie managers or even just guys that take a new job, they don't find themselves in this situation is he's got a lot of talent to work with, you know. He's got to really try to make a severe mistake. When you have an offense that might put up 6 runs a game, an experienced rotation, one of the best bullpens ever assembled, you know, he's got a little wiggle room to, I guess, kind of work out the learning curve, so to speak. Yeah, so I think he's going to be just fine. He seems like a guy that already has a really good grasp of his clubhouse, of the personalities in it. That was one of the knocks against Joe Girardi last year. So I expect him to be just fine. There's going to be growing pains, but again, welcome to the majors.
It's also a young team that's still kind of coming into its own for the most part. That relationship with Aaron Boone is going to be interesting, how he's developed those kind of relationships. I mean, that's kind of the reason they brought him in, was so he'd be personable with the younger guys.
Right.
And it'll be interesting to see how that relationship starts out.
Not to, you know, speak poorly of millennials, which Sean and I are, but I think one of Brian Cashman's problems with Joe Girardi was that he was not an easygoing personality that, you know, meshed well with the Yankees' younger up-and-coming roster. So I think, you know, the stress with their replacement was finding a strong communicator, and the guy they picked for that was Boone. So yeah, I don't want to say the Yankees roster is going to be coddled, but I think you have a guy that's going to make more of an effort now to relate to them, to let them kind of go through their own growing pains and their own motions, and just kind of adapt on their own. I don't think it's going to be such a high-pressure, stressful atmosphere, which I think was one of the knocks against Girardi.
But that's, I think, a good part of that. But the other part of it is, and again, kind of the center of it was the Gary Sanchez dealing behind the plate,
right,
mistakes there. Those mistakes do still have to be corrected, and if he's not putting in the work, someone's got to nudge him forward. And it's the same with Aaron Judge trying to adjust with off-speed pitches. Those things still have to be improved upon and to continue to develop as a baseball player to reach your potential. But you're also trying to develop that relationship where everyone is developing into that family kind of atmosphere as a team, right, so you can go out and accomplish the goals.
Well, that's one thing.
You're kind of toeing the line.
That's one thing last year with Girardi and Sanchez. It was kind of the media kind of blew it up a little bit. You know,
right,
their relationship and Girardi kind of offering some tough love, trying to get Sanchez to work on his defense a little bit.
I'm sure part of that was the fact that Girardi was a catcher himself.
Right, but I also don't think the problem ever was Sanchez's work ethic, because now if you look at what he's done this spring training, you know, yeah, there's still some blemishes in his defense. It could still be better, but the kid's clearly trying to improve, and I think that's always been the case. It's just a matter of how you get the message across. And even that, at the beginning of spring training, Sanchez was asked about his interactions with Girardi, and he said, you know, kind of looking back on it in retrospect, everything Girardi did was to make him a better player. So one of Boone's biggest responsibilities this year is going to be figuring out how to correctly relay the message to this particular group or a particular individual in that clubhouse. And that's, you know, that's, I think, in my opinion, that's why he's getting paid. You know, that is where he's going to earn his money, is in the way he communicates with his team.
Before we get out of here, Gary, just want to remind everybody, make sure to check out the Locked On Yankees website. A lot of great content is starting to go on the website. Seriously, check it out. Well, you might see us in the coming weeks on the site as well as our colleagues. Make sure to check it out, as well as the other Locked On Yankees podcasts, where you can find podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, and the like. Finish it up. It's opening day. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's just going to be the start of an amazing season, hopefully, for the Yankees. It's going to be a lot of fun to follow it the whole way.
I'm giddy. I am like this is
it's like Christmas
this
again.
This is my Christmas, yeah. Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Festivus, all wrapped into one. I mean, this is my favorite day of the year. Not just watching Yankees baseball. I mean, I will be watching every game I can get on my TV tomorrow. I will not remove myself from the couch. This should be a holiday, especially now that we got all 30 teams playing on the same day. If you're going to school, you're going to class, yeah, what are you doing? Come on, go watch your team.
Are you going to pay attention
go
anyway?
Go watch your team, or at least get like the live stream up, yeah, on your laptop.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It is, and you know what? This was a lot of fun, Sean.
No doubt.
First time, we really thank you for listening to us. We hope you come back, do it some more, and we hope you enjoy your opening day as much as we're going to.
Yeah, we'll see you guys soon, and we'll see you guys next time on the Locked On Yankees podcast.
Take it easy.